In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shopping.
I don't think any one of us would want to get into our car at night and not have use of the headlights and attempt to drive across town. Certainly, probably most of us have had the experience of walking into a dark room or walking down a dark hallway and stubbing our toe on something that invariably we run into. And certainly, what happens if the power goes out at night? The first thing we want to do is we want to establish a source of light. We reach for a flashlight, we find matches, we light a candle, we do whatever we can do to bring light into our midst. We need light. We love the light. And if it's true in the physical world, how much more true is it in the world of the spiritual life? We need spiritual light in our lives. Fortunately, Christ, our true God, is the light of the world, and he has come into this world to shine his light in the darkness. Of his life, we would point to and say, those are moments of enlightenment. And certainly we point to the point of Christ's baptism as one of those moments where light dawned on the world. Through Christ's baptism, Christ sanctified the Jordan River. We just celebrated the feast of his baptism this past week. We're still in the feast of his baptism, the festal season of his baptism. And we recognize that certain events take place at Christ's baptism. He sanctified the River Jordan because Christ, the sinless one, when he comes to the baptism of John in the Jordan, it's not like everyone else. When others came to John for baptism, they were being washed of their sins. It was a baptism of repentance. But Christ is the sinless one who needs no repentance. He is clean. He is sinless. So when Christ is baptized in the Jordan, he is not cleansed, but the waters themselves are cleansed. So we say that he sanctified the Jordan, and thus it is that we believe that Christ began the process of sanctifying the created order. It's for this reason that we bless holy water at this service, and the idea of the sanctification of matter comes from this very event in Christ's life, because Christ reached into creation and sanctified it, cleansed it. It's a moment in which the light once again dawns on creation. As we read the gospel text today, we are reminded what happens immediately after Christ's baptism. Christ moves to the region of Galilee, to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. It was a region that was far away from the spiritual activity of Jerusalem. It was outside of the consideration of the spiritual leaders of the time. It was not a region that had given rise to a prophet. It was considered a dark place, a carnal place, not a place that was under spiritual light at all. But we are reminded today in the gospel text that Christ forever changed that region simply by moving there and residing there. It's important to remember this during this time of this season. As Christ sanctified the Jordan through his baptism, and as Christ enlightened this dark region of Zebulun and Naphtali, so it is that we are sanctified through baptism, and so it is that we are enlightened by Christ coming to our lives, residing in us. In our baptism, the stains of sin were washed clean. In baptism, we are united to Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And it's in this sacrament that we are washed clean of our sins. We die to the old and we arise in newness of life. We who lived in the darkness, apart from the true light of Christ, no longer have to live in that darkness, because Christ comes to reside in us. Christ, who is the light of the world, comes to reside in us, and he enlightens our life. The season of Theophany is a time to reflect, to rejoice, and to give thanks to God for all that he has done, for being cleansed and enlightened by Christ. We reflect on what has been accomplished in our own baptism. We rejoice in the spiritual opportunity that we are given. We give thanks to God for making these things happen in our lives. We must recognize that the themes of cleansing and enlightenment are not merely reserved for this feast or this season. They're not merely themes that we examine at the time of someone being baptized. The theme of spiritual cleansing is a constant one. And the theme of spiritual enlightenment permeates the spiritual life. In fact, these themes are basic ideas embedded in the Christian life itself. Cleansing and enlightenment are not reserved for specific times, but rather cleansing and enlightenment are to be an ongoing reality in our life, even a daily reality in our lives. We need to remember the reality of our baptism because for many of us it took place a long time ago, and we forget the reality of what spiritually took place at that time. And we need to go back and remember what happened and remind ourselves spiritually what has taken place in that baptism, what has happened through that. But likewise, we need to go back and revisit our baptism because we need to recognize that over the course of time, most of us fall into sin, and we sin after baptism. So that today we might find ourselves in a place where we need additional cleansing of the Lord. We could find ourselves in a place where we are confused, where we feel that darkness permeates. Because, for example, we can invite darkness back into our life, or we can journey into a dark place and be consumed by the darkness of that place. What do we do when we find ourselves in these places where we're confused, where the darkness encompasses us, where we feel that sin has overtaken us, and we once again need to be cleansed? We need to take some action in some way. And part of that action is remembering what Christ did in his baptism. Part of it is remembering what has happened to us in our baptism. But we need to go beyond that. We need to take action that's further than that. And we don't go and be rebaptized because we believe that the sacrament is to happen only once. What we need to do is something else. It's something that is also common to the Christian life. What we need to do is we need to do the act of repentance. As we look at that, the gospel text today and what it tells us about Christ fulfilling prophecy, he comes and he brings a dark region, but then the gospel text goes on and says, what did Jesus do immediately after that? It says that Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what do we do after we experience Christ's cleansing and enlightenment? What do we do if we sin after baptism? We likewise repent. You see, repentance is not something that is reserved only for the time of our conversion. We recognize that in Christ, in the account of the gospel today, baptism took place and his preaching of repentance took place after baptism. And there's not a strong theological statement. It's just to make the point that there is repentance after baptism. We recognize that repentance needs to be an ongoing reality in our lives. That repentance is not something that's reserved for the past, that I've already done that. But repentance needs to continue. It needs to grow. It needs to be practiced in our life. Because after all, repentance does things in our lives, things that are positive spiritually. Repentance opens the doors to the kingdom of heaven. Repentance opens the door of our own heart that can be closed. Repentance softens our heart when our heart is hardened by sin. Repentance gets us back onto the path that we need to be walking. And through repentance, our sins are once again cleansed. Through repentance, Christ again comes to that place to enlighten our lives. No matter who we are or how far we progress in the Christian life, the truth is, sin can become an issue, and when sin becomes an issue, it can become a discouraging thing for us. Sin can discourage us. And the enemy of our soul knows this all too well and seeks to exploit this reality. He seeks to jump into the middle of our discouragement and intensify our discouragement and take it to such an extreme that we want to give up altogether and say, what's the point of going on? I'll never get better. I'll never get to where I need to be. We need to recognize that this is a device of the enemy. And what we need to do in these moments, rather than giving in to the discouragement that we might feel, is we must find the encouragement that is at hand. And it's found in the preaching of Christ this morning in the gospel text. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the good news that Christ preached, and that good news is still available to us. The kingdom of heaven is near to us. It's not far away. It has not departed. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it's good news, and we need to be encouraged by this reality. And there's just a simple act that we need to do that is right at our fingertips. We don't have to traverse the globe to find some spiritual reality to access the kingdom of heaven. The reality that we need to access is right at our fingertips. It's called repentance. Repentance opens the door to that realm once again in our life. Repentance brings Christ to the center of our life once again. Repentance can cleanse us and enlighten our lives all over again. Repentance needs to be a regular part of our lives. And at times for us, we need to take repentance to the next level. For us, for our repentance to be complete, we have to recognize that it includes the sacrament of confession. Because sometimes that is what is necessary, because we need that extra boost. It's our simple acts of repentance is not enough, and we need the sacrament to help us to go on. As Christ sanctified the Jordan River, so he does sanctify our lives and wash our lives clean. As Christ enlightened the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, so he enlightens us. What began at baptism continues in our lives when we repent. So let us continue on the path of repentance, for it opens the door to cleansing, it opens the door to enlightenment, and it opens the door to the kingdom of heaven, which is always at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.